Okay, so welcome to this Fozon Mobile Dev Room. It's great to see the room fill up so quickly, although I know that's kind of annoying for people who want to get in. But hey, everything is recorded. I'm just going to pause for a moment before I jump into the presentation proper, but just to say that we're combining the complete range of open source software on mobile. So we are doing Linux on mobile, we're doing AOSP, Android open source, and we're also doing a bunch of stuff about ecosystem and apps and all that kind of stuff. So this is everything you could ever want to know about FOSS on mobile. Having said that then, I'm going to kick off with the first presentation. So just to reiterate what I've just said, in actual fact, this dev room is about FOSS on mobile and Linux-based platforms. There are maybe other operating systems that are not Linux-based, but hey, we don't do them. So we're talking about all the things I've just mentioned, AOSP, custom ROMs, Linux mobile operating systems, free apps, free app stores, and also open source hardware, and kernel enablement and all that kind of stuff. And we like the idea of bringing everybody together from this range of disciplines, which have a lot of commonality. So we're looking for some cross-pollination here. So this presentation actually has three presenters. So I'm Chris Simmons. We also have David. Do you guys want to come on, because you're on in a moment, and Romain lurking over there in the corner. They will come on at appropriate times. And just in case you can't remember what they look like, this is what we all look like. So I'm going to kick off with a quick chat about AOSP, the Android Open Source Project. So I just want to emphasize, a lot of people don't think of Android as being open source, but it kind of is. So the OS in AOSP is open source. And it's what every Android device is based on. The interesting thing then is that AOSP is used by thousands, tens of thousands of developers. So there is a big community of people using AOSP, developing it, porting it, modifying it. A lot of them are working in big companies, so phones, cars, TVs, all the big names are using Android, almost all of them. There's also the more direct community that we're addressing here today, so people working on custom ROMs, free apps, and so on. And there's also kind of the community I kind of started out with, actually, is the community of people developing small-scale, what we used to call embedded Android products. So you find Android in all kinds of interesting things. At the bottom there it says gym equipment, so Peloton use Android in their machines apparently. Point of sale, digital advertising, tons and tons of stuff. So Android is everywhere. So having set the scene, what about Android and Google? So the good news is Google fund the development of AOSP. Woohoo. So that's a good thing. The bad news is that they have complete control of the repositories. So if you want to upstream a patch to AOSP, you have to do it through Garrett, and you need to do it through the Android dev team, and that's kind of tricky. So it's fair to say, I think, that Google don't encourage patches from outside of the company. And indeed, this actually is documented. Andy Rubin, who is the founder of Android, has this quote. He says, "Open source is different from a community-driven project. We're light on community." And that pretty much sums it up. So partly what we're here for is to put the community back into AOSP. And we'll come back to that again in a couple of slides' time. I just want to document a couple of things that have been happening with AOSP over the last year. So it's fair to say that from a community aspect, 2025 was not a good year for AOSP. So I've highlighted a few things, and Romain will also go into a couple of things as well. But the first thing that happened back in March, no more main branch. So there used to be a main branch for AOSP, and that had updates pushed to it throughout the year. And in particular, there were a bunch of projects that were AOSP first. In other words, they were developed on the main branch of AOSP. So Bionic, Bluetooth, Cuttlefish, and a bunch of others. Unfortunately, that is all gone now. All of that is done now on the private branch. And it is then pushed to the public branches from time to time. We'll talk about exactly what times in on the next slide. So that was a bit of a blow. June, when Android 16 was released, we noticed that the support for Pixel devices was missing. So if you look in the devices directory of AOSP now, all the Pixel stuff is gone. There's really just the emulators, Cuttlefish and Goldfish, and some dev boards, so the KDAS Vim 3, and a couple of Qualcomm boards supported by Linaro are still there. Apart from that, it's all gone. That's a real pain, because even if you weren't developing directly to run on Pixel, it was really nice to have the configuration that Google had come up with to see this is how you should configure Android for a real device. So we no longer have that. And then in July and again in January, they clarified a little bit as to exactly when they're going to be pushing their internal branches to the public servers. So initially they said it will be on every QPR, every quarterly platform release. But they've rolled back a little bit on that. So at the start of this year, there's a banner appeared on all of the source.android.com pages, which says effective in 2026. We will publish the source code to AOSP in Q2 and Q4 only. In other words, with the major release and then with the QPR2 release. So we only get two code drops per year now. Yeah. That's a little bit sad. So that's the state of play. Like I say, and we're going to come to this at the end of the presentation, we have some ideas as to what we can do to come together as a community. And we can work with Google, but ultimately what we the basis that we're working on is the AOSP that we get from Google. Okay, so this is all I want to say for the moment. I'm going to hand over now to Romain. Excuse me while I turn the microphones over. Ignore the shuffling noise.
We'll get better at this.
Yeah, 2 days for practice.
Well, one.
Thank you, Chris. As Chris said, 2025 was not a good year for AOSP and Android in general, in terms of open source, I mean. And now let's focus a bit more on application side. One of the major announcements of Google over the past year was the Google Developer Registration, or the sideloading topic, or whatever we call it. So today, until now, you were able, anyone, to develop an application and to share it over internet, and anyone was able to install. more and more with some warnings, but you were able to install. And over the past year, Google announced that from now, in order to install it easily, as a normal developer, you will have to show your identity to Google. So you will be kind of approved by Google to share your APK over Android. So that's a major shift and kind of a bit against open source. Well, you will still be able to share an APK freely without this registration, but you will have even more warning than before, etc. So it's not so much, I would say, a problem for custom ROMs, because custom ROM developer probably can get rid of that. But if you want your application to be used by people on Google Android, then it will become a problem. I think it's Evdorid who made a very good blog post about this topic that you can find on the internet. The other topic which is important about Android application in 2025 was the rise of Play Integrity. Play Integrity, so as Chris said, AOSP is open source, but as you may know, to run your application, most of them rely on some Google components. And one of them is Play Integrity. So Play Integrity is a tool or SDK that allow app developer to ensure the app will run only on approved device by Google. So it works well for Google devices for sure, but it works a bit less well when time comes to run your application on a custom ROM. This is a problem, for example, of banking app or some AI application which are checking that you are running on an official Google Android. More and more app developers are using Play Integrity, and it becomes challenging for custom ROM to get those apps working without all the Google services packages, which means that even if AOSP is open source, if you want to run all your application, it becomes more and more difficult for ROM developer to claim that you are compatible with all applications. So that's one of the challenge, well, at least at Murena, the company I'm working with, we are working on this, and many others are working on this, but that's a challenge from last year. Well, time is running, so other updates. So I put here the major, I will say, custom ROM or AOSP-based OS. The order is not the popularity of each, it's just in the alphabetical order. There are many others. I put here what I feel are the most popular. There are Bliss ROMs also. There are really many others, but that's the most popular on the internet. Well, most of them over the past year moved to Android 16. That was one of the major shift over the last year, and bring many, many other features. The good news, I spoke a bit about bad news. The good news is we have way more, I would say, devices and hardware which are compatible with non-Google Android, which are released on the market. So again, I put a list here. There are probably many others, but at least all those brands are selling Google Android devices without Google. Which is, I think, a good thing for open source. Most of them are open source, not always, but most of them are, and at least not relying on Google. So that's what we can refer to, and that's only what was announced last year, and probably more to come this year. What's cooking for 2026 now? We spoke about restriction from Google. They are also coming from other manufacturer. At first, Samsung announced that they will kill bootloader unlocking. So bootloader unlocking is the feature that allows you to unlock your device and install whatever you want. Samsung has announced that they might kill this feature, as well as other manufacturers did in the past. I think Xiaomi did long ago. For sure, for the community, it means that you will not be able to develop anymore and to install. There are always ways to hack such stuff, but it's way more complicated. Another challenge for the ecosystem is the 2G, 3G shutdown. I'm not sure if you are aware of it, but most of the carrier will shut down such network in the next years. The point is, if your device is not compatible today with the OLT, so voice over LTE, voice over 4G or 5G, you will not be able to pass a call anymore. So it means that for community developers who want to bring AOSP on a device, they have to ensure that the OLT is working. Otherwise, in a couple of years, you will have an open source device, but you will not be able to make any call. So that's a challenge. It's well supported now, but for very old devices that we are still supporting, I'm thinking, for example, about some old Samsung devices at Lineage OS or iOS, it will become a challenge and a blocker. And that's where I will probably transition to David with the more upper hour and maybe mainline driver support, which is growing. And yes, I will switch to David for the next slide. Again, transition, sorry about the sound.
Lovely, thank you very much. Okay, great, thank you very much, Romain. Thank you, Chris. And some of these challenges that we see for AOSP are also challenges for other Linux distributions, which I'm going to talk a little bit now. So far we've talked, broadly speaking, about AOSP, but although AOSP is by far the most popular Linux distribution, I think it's probably fair to say, it is not the only Linux distribution that runs on mobile phones, and there are a bunch of others that you might call more mainline or mainline-esque type Linuxes that run on mobile phones. And that's what I'm going to talk about for the last section of this talk. And there are lots of, as with desktop Linux, there are lots of different distributions, desktop or laptop Linux, there are lots of distributions that run on mobile phones. It's a similar sort of ecosystem in that there are all these different organizations that run them. And this slide captures some of those organizations. So on the left-hand side, you can see a mixture of distributions. Some of you might be running distributions that are not on this list. Please give a shout out at the end in the questions if you'd like to do that. But this is definitely some of them. And on the right-hand side, there is a mixture between the distributions and the shells that you can run on, the user interfaces. So the user interfaces might be things like GNOME Shell, Foch, which are both GNOME Shell and Foch are GNOME-based user interfaces. Or, for example, Plasma Mobile, which is a KDE variant. And some of these distributions will work with some of the user interfaces, but some of the distributions essentially have their own user interface, which is tied to or semi-tied to the distribution or encouraged for use. For example, with Ubuntu, the user interface would be Lumiri, for example. So I'm going to go through, just for the last bit, some of these distributions and give an update on the sorts of things that's been happening with them over the last 12 months. So first up is Droidion. Droidion is a version of, as the name suggests, a version of Linux that is a mixture of both Android and Debian. So the way that works is that it is a GNU-based Linux at the top layer. The user space is just like Linux. And the underlying parts are based on the Android drivers. So it benefits from using the Android drivers, using libhybris or Helium, which means that it gets potentially better platform support, better support on the devices, but you still get the user experience of a Linux-based system on top. And over the last 12 months, the project has been doing well. It's had several releases. The latest one was in September, was 101, based on Debian 4Key and GNOME 48. So it's been having a successful development year. They've introduced things like captive portal detection for when you're using Wi-Fi on a closed network, MPRI lock screen controls for controlling audio, multimedia apps from the lock screen of your phone, which is a genuine quality of life improvement for end users, at least that's certainly my experience. And also updating Waydroid, which allows the Android apps to run within the Linux environment to Android 13. So a good year for Droidion. I'm doing these in alphabetical order, but actually there's a bit of a link here. Fury Lab is an organization that was set up to sell phones with Linux installed on them, and their version of Linux is called Furious. It's kind of neat. And their objective was to, they tie the hardware with the software. So you buy the hardware and you get the operating system with it. And their objective was to make one release per month during the last 12 months. And the original phone, the FLX1, was released maybe about 18 months ago. It was a big deal at FOSDEM last year, but it's a relatively new thing. And it has, they have, broadly speaking, achieved to get a release out every month. So really, a really good result for Furious and Fury Labs. They've had some hardware issues, as I understand it. The FLX1, they can no longer source, so they are moving to the FLX-S, the slim version, which is slightly different hardware design. I've just had a look at it downstairs. They have a stand at UD2, so if you want to have a look, don't do it today because you're in here today, but tomorrow, go to the stand and have a look at the Fury Labs device. It's really nice. It has kill switches on the side, which is an upgrade from the original version, and it has more RAM, but it also has some aspects which are not quite as good as the FLX1. The screen is not quite as good, for example. So it's more of a side grade than an upgrade, but it's a really nice device and worth having a look at. So and that their user interface is based on Phosh, which was the GNOME-based user interface that was developed by Purism and is a community effort, and it's being developed quite extensively. So that's Fury Labs. Next up is Mobian. So Mobian is a Debian variant, so like Droidium, but it is a mainline Linux variant. So that means that it is designed, the changes that are required to get it running on the devices are pushed upstream to be used in the main Linux kernel. They do also have some releases that run on libhybris and Helium as well. But they've also had multiple releases during the year. So they recently moved to Mobian Trixie in October, that upgraded to Phosh 46 and Plasma Mobile 63. So the project is bubbling along nicely and progressing. Hardware support, there are a few devices which it runs on, which are officially supported. If you want to give it a try, you can download it. And we do have some Mobian variants on the Linux on mobile stand at UD2 again tomorrow, not today. Do go and have a look at those if you want to give them a try. Postmarket OS is another Linux variant which has had a really successful year this year. It's doing really successfully. And it is a mainline Linux variant again that has a biannual release. So it has two releases a year. The most recent one was in December. And they've had a really big year. They switched. It's an Alpine Linux variant. They switched to using systemd this year. It was a really big shift. They've had a lot of really strong development. They have an improved Firefox and Thunderbird user interface that was released over the last 12 months. And they've also managed to secure funding from NLNet for their back-end infrastructure. So really successful. And I think, as it says there, they've also got a new code of conduct team introduced. So lots of really good stuff. Okay, just a couple more to go. Selfish OS, which is the system developed by Yolo, that is a development of MIMO, the old N900 devices, has had a very successful year with you may be aware, a crowdfunded device that they are putting together to call the DIT phone, the Do It Together phone. And they had five releases during the last year, including improvements to app support, which is their ability to run Android on the device. They've introduced WireGuard, VPN support, landscape views on more of the official apps, and things like call blocking, and a whole bunch of bug fixes as well. So lots of changes. And then finally, Ubuntu Touch. So this is the development of the original Ubuntu Touch released by Canonical, which Canonical dropped, but the community picked up, and it has been developing very successfully. It's based on the Lemuri user interface, which you may be familiar with using the term Unity. So it was the original Unity interface that has become this. And they have been adding Volte support to various devices. We heard about the 2D, 3D switch off, and the Volte support is aimed to provide a solution to that. And they've also had other improvements, like theme improvements, improved personal data encryption, and things like that. So all of these projects, you can see there's a whole band of them. They're all charging along really well and developing very successfully. There are a whole load of others, which I'm not going to talk about, but which you can have a look at if you want to. Too many to speak of, but maybe it's all Linux, so maybe you want to develop your own version or something for it, and you'll come back to the dev room next year and do that, and we would welcome that very, very much. All right, so that's kind of the landscape of mobile Linux. I'm just going to hand back now over to Romain to Chris to wrap things up. I beg your pardon. If I can get this off.
There we go.
Okay. So just to finish off then on what's hopefully going to be a positive note. So the thing we have here, particularly at FOSDEM, pull that down, is a community. So if the corporates are not doing everything, then we can come together and we can make things happen. So three bullet points: share and coordinate, promote community efforts, pool resources. That is the essence of FOSDEM. And then finally, particularly, what are we doing about creating communities? So I want to do a quick shout out for AOSP Devs, which we are putting together a community for AOSP developers, hence the name. There's also the meetup, the AOSP and AAOS meetup that I run every 2 months. There's the Keep Android Open project page, which is does what it says. It is lobbying people to keep Android open source. And then Linux on Mobile, LinMob, is a generic project which aims to pool a lot of resource for all of the Linux-based mobile devices that David was just talking about. So take a picture of this, click on those links. This is how we create community. We're kind of out of time. I think if anybody has questions, and I'm sure there's lots of questions raised from all of that, we're going to have to take this either offline in the corridor track, or, of course, you can always post questions on the chat for the Fozon Mobile dev room. But thank you very much, and that's me done for the moment.